All right, let's try that. There we go. Okay. We're just doing an unplug thing. I was trying to continue that. Well, today we bring to a close a series of sermons that we have been doing, this sermon series, I should say, that we have been doing called Growing and the study of the book of Ephesians. If you haven't been keeping track, we've been doing this since the 1st of January. So we've gone now, 3 months thereabout, or a little bit more than 3 months on this sermon series. And I'm patting myself in the back for not having ADD enough to want to change in the middle of it. So, because as a pastor, that often happens. You start thinking about something in the future and you want to change. But we are going to end today with the last two pieces of armor, with the armor of God that comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Now, you may be asking yourself, wait a minute, we've done one every Sunday, and now today we're doing two. Yes, we'll be done about 3 o'clock, so hopefully you don't have any plans this afternoon. No, I'm kidding. Actually, the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit fit so kindly together that it just works so well to do in one, and I'm going to explain that in a moment here. But today we're going to be looking at what this is. We're going to be looking at what the helmet of salvation is and what the sword of the spirit is. And why these two pieces of armor, one defensive, one offensive, is so important in the walk of believers today. I said last week that faith is not blind, and that is very true. Faith is not blind. We are called to have a faith that understands where we're going and what we're doing. And guess what? It takes a head and a brain to understand that. And so when Paul starts to speak about the armor of God, and he ends with these last two, it's interesting that he ends with the helmet and the sword of the Spirit. It's interesting because one would think that, and could make the argument, that both the sword is, and should be, the most important thing that we yield. The other one is, could be said that the helmet is also, could be, the most important piece of equipment, because without a head, we're all in trouble, right? I don't know any of you guys in here to be the headless horseman, so we're all good in understanding that you need a head, you need a brain to move forward in your faith. May I remotely just say that we need Christians who use this up here instead of leaving it at home. There are a lot of Christians today that want to walk in their faith without thinking out their faith inside their head. I give credit to Corey and others, and I was laughing about this. When something comes to your mind, you don't have to say it. You can pull it back and leave it up there. I know sometimes it's really hard, Miss Tanya, to not tell Chaz exactly how you feel. I get that. I understand that. But it is okay for us to use what God has graced us with. God has graced every single one of you in this room with intelligence. Some of us more than others, Diane, but that's okay. That's an ongoing inside joke. For those that don't know, I'm sorry, but that's an ongoing joke. But God has graced you with something up here. This isn't a paperweight. This isn't a weight to put on top of your pillow and sink it in at night. No, it was intended to give to you to think out these things. And so when Paul begins to tell us about the helmet of salvation, it's no coincidence that he uses salvation and the helmet together. The helmet protects the head. It protects everything. Without a head, you don't care about your righteous armor that you might have. You don't care about the breastplate of righteousness. You don't care about the shoes. You don't care about the belt. You don't care about any of those things, because without your head, you don't think. And Paul's making it very clear that Christianity is something that we need to think out. Our salvation is important to us, and we must walk in that salvation. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be reading in verse 14 through 20. Oops, sorry, there we go. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul adds, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare as boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Not only do we thank you for 19 years of faithfulness to us, Father, that we can in turn hopefully have been faithful to you, but we thank you for this time that we have together to worship as a family, to be together as individuals seeking more of you. We thank you for the armor that Paul has spoken about and that we have got to spend the last few weeks speaking and thinking and talking through what it means to wear this armor. And today, Father, it is another one of those that we need. We need that helmet of salvation, and we need that sword of the Spirit, which is your word. And so, Lord, we pray today, guide us, direct us, help us to understand these last two pieces of armor so that we can stand firm as Paul so boldly proclaims us and calls us to do. Help us to walk in our faith in a firm foundation of salvation and understanding of what that means, using the sword of the Spirit to divide even bone and marrow, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father, and that you would help us and guide us and strengthen us as we are on this walk together, Father. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Remove any hindrances from our minds, our hearts, and our ears that keep us from hearing from you. Bring to us what you so desire to have to give to us, and allow us to receive it openly, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at the helmet of salvation. And I just want to make this, I want to make this very clear. When you become saved, saved is this Christianese word that is often used. But what it means is giving your life to Christ. But the word saved means that you have been, literally, when you're saved. When you save someone from drowning, what are you doing? You're reaching into the water, you're pulling them out so that they don't drown, right? You're saving that person. So when we use this word salvation or saved, what is going on here is that we are making a commitment, we're making an understanding that we need to be saved from something. Sometimes what we need to be saved from is our own self. Sometimes what we need to be saved from is our stinking thinking that's going on up here.
Amen.
I knew Ben would say amen to that. Sometimes we need to be saved just from a situation that we can't be saved from on our own. See, literally what that word salvation, when we talk about the helmet of salvation, you have to fully understand what salvation truly means. And what that means is that we are not worthy of where God wants us to be. And so God came down and gave us an opportunity to be saved by his son, Jesus Christ, so that we can be saved, so we can have salvation from the downfall of sin in our life. We have to be very clear, though, when Paul says to put on the helmet of salvation, what are we doing? We have to understand, too many people think that the salvation is just the fire insurance to keep us from going to hell. Is that true? Yes, that is true. We do save ourselves from hell. When you are saved, when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, when you ask him to be part of who you are, when you ask him to take the sins and to accept the penalty and the judgment and all of those things that are upon us because of our sinful life, we are saved from an eternity in hell. And that's a wonderful thing. But that's not the only thing that happens when you're saved. Jesus does not want you to remain in the same place that you have been before you were saved. So salvation is a process of renewing yourself so that you can make it into heaven with him, but it's also a place of renewing yourself so you don't remain the same way. What is the same way that we have been? Well, before you were saved, you were slaves to your sin.
That's right.
Before you were saved, you were a slave to the things that come against you, the problem, the temptations, the desires, all of those things. Those were the things that were coming against you. And you had no way out. There is no way to get away from those desires. There is no way to get away from those sins. There is no way to get away from those temptations except for but God and but Jesus Christ. And so he's saving you from that. He's pulling you from that miry pit. He's pulling you out of that. And he's bringing you to a place where your salvation begins. Now, why would anybody in their right mind want to go back to where they were before? Paul begins to talk about the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation was for us to protect our mind so that we don't slip to the ways that we once were, and that we will become the new people that we are supposed to be. How do you do that? You protect your mind. You cover your head. You cover your thinking with what? You cover your head with salvation. See, salvation changes everything. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you act. It changes your future destination. It changes all of those things. And Paul knew that. And so Paul says, we need to protect that. We need to protect that thinking so that I don't fall, so that we don't fall back to being who we were once before. So put on that helmet so nothing can pierce that salvation and get to your mind and cause you to go the other way. See, the truth of the matter is that when we fall to temptation as Christians, now I don't like doing this very often, but there is a clear delineation for those that are listening that are not following Christ yet, to those that are following Christ, those that have given their life to Christ, have taken on and put on that helmet of salvation. There's a clear delineation here because what's happening is that your mind is either protected or it is not. Now, here's the problem. Those that have been saved, those that have given their life to Christ, can put on the helmet of salvation or they can leave it out. Just like any other piece of equipment that you put on, you have a choice of whether you're going to put that on or not. You have a choice of whether you're going to get up in the morning and say, I'm not walking out without the helmet of salvation. Because I need my mind to be protected. I need my mind to be protected from the fiery darts of the evil one. I need my mind to be protected from my own evil thoughts that are inside my head, my selfish thoughts that are inside there. And so I'm going to put on this helmet of salvation. So what does it mean? Well, salvation means that you are 100% different, or should be 100% different than the way you were. Salvation means that you are different as a person, you are different as a follower of Christ, and you no longer have to fall to those things that you once fell to. Salvation is our assurance of not only where we're going, but who we follow today in this earth, in this place, the kingdom of God. And so when Paul says that we are to put on the helmet of salvation. Salvation, I want to just real quickly, he's saying put on that helmet of salvation. Understand that salvation means that we are saved from the power of sin. You no longer have to fall to the temptations or the penalty of that sin. Now, there's consequences to your actions. As Christians, if you still sin, there's consequences to your actions. One of them being a separation from God. But salvation means that you don't have to fall to that. Salvation means that you have the power to overcome that sin in your life. Is it your power? No, it's the power of Jesus inside of you. It's the salvation of what he's given to us and what he did on that cross that comes upon you, that gives you the power to stand up in the face of that sin and say, I'm not going to go there because I have the helmet of salvation protecting my mind. It has the power, it gives you the power to stand up in the eyes of Satan and say, get thee behind me, Satan. It doesn't take away the temptation of sin, though. The devil still tempts us. But if you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you can overcome the temptation that's thrown at you, then why would you ever fall to that temptation? Why would you ever allow yourself to go back to the place that you once were? You shouldn't. As a Christian who put on the helmet of salvation, it means, guess what? I'm never going back there. I'm never going... When I say there, I'm not pointing to the cross. I'm never going back to my old place. We need to go back to the cross every second of our life. But I'm not going back to that old me. I'm not going back to that old person who thought this way, who talked this way, who did these things that I shouldn't be doing. Why? Because I have the assurance of Jesus in me. And I wear the helmet of salvation proudly because it protects me from sin. Salvation is the assurance of a future and a piece of armor to protect us today. See, when Jesus came down and he says, and Paul, I believe, understood this, because Paul says, wear the helmet of salvation. He understood that the helmet of salvation, listen, you don't need protection in heaven. Do you understand it? We don't. Theologically speaking, here for a moment, systematic theology, Ben, we're going to go a little bit deeper here, but if you are saved, heaven is a perfect place. No pain, no suffering, no tears, no nothing. Right? And so if you give your life to Christ, you are guaranteed a place in heaven with him. He is the ultimate. He is the protector. He is all of those things. Satan cannot live in heaven because it is all good. He is all bad. He's all, God is truth, devil is lie. And so there's no way, there's no reason for us to have the helmet of salvation in heaven. The only place we need the helmet of salvation is right here and now. So it is not only, salvation is not only a guarantee of that future, it's not only the train ticket that we get to ride to heaven, right? But it's also the protection that we need today to face the things that we're facing in this earth today. But you got to wear it. You got to put it on. You got to utilize it. I laughed oftentimes. I'll have a conversation with some people and with different, I have had a conversation with different people. I said, in fact, no one that's in this room, so don't be so going, oh, they talk about me. No, I'm not talking about you. I went to someone's house one time and they said, oh, I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I said, oh, really? I said, how many Bibles do you own? And he's like, oh, I own one. I just use one because it's the greatest thing I could ever. I said, what's that? New King James. Not the New King James. No, sorry. I did. I did. I followed it. I asked this friend of mine, I said, please go and grab your Bible. I want to look something up real quickly. He's like, so what's And he goes, I'm not exactly sure where it's at. I said, but you love it so much and you use it every single day, but you just don't know where it's at. Salvation is the assurance of future and a piece of armor to protect us today, but if you don't use it and you don't wear it, it's not going to help you. Salvation protects the mind because there's nothing nor anyone that can take it from us. You know, your intelligence that you have inside here is the only thing that cannot be taken away from you. It lives and dies with you. Someone wants to chop off my fingers, they can do it. That's gross, right? But they could. Any other, I won't go there because I know all of you. There's other body parts that can also be taken, but you can't take your mind away. Your intelligence. You can behead someone, but if you behead someone, guess what happens? They die. And they're facing either eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And it's their choice that they made here on this earth. Your brains are protected. It is that nothing can be, this cannot be taken from you. the salvation that is given to you. Also, by the way, Jesus knew, another theological statement, we believe here at this church that there is once saved, always saved. There's nothing that you can lose your salvation for except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because that's what Scripture says. And so if you put on the helmet of salvation, if you accept the helmet of salvation, and you truly mean it, and you're truly following Him, then the only thing that can be, only way that can be removed is by your blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which means you are denying that God exists and that the Holy Spirit is there. For us today, we must understand that the helmet of salvation is... Ben, will you do me a favor? Will you go and tell my wife that the order for this afternoon for our leadership meeting is calling me on my phone. And so we need someone to take care of whatever issue they're having there. So, because everything at Passion is surrounded by what? Food, right? Yes, okay. Yes. Salvation protects our mind. Salvation protects your... I am tired of Christians who don't understand anything that's in this book. I am tired of believers who don't ever open this up but say, I'm so close to God. Oh, you are, really? Do you know His Word of God? Do you know what He said in this? Do you know... Do you process and submit these words to your heart? Do you memorize these things? Do you memorize what it says in here? Do you take for, or do you just come to church on Sunday and hear a pastor say and then walk home the rest of the week and never do anything with it? Salvation, my salvation is my salvation. Your salvation is your salvation. You are responsible for your salvation. You are responsible for your thinking. You are responsible for your mind. You are responsible for either following or not following Christ, and that's a choice you get to make. But salvation, Christians are called to change. Salvation means that you are going to change. You're not going to stay. You wouldn't need to be saved if there's nothing to be saved from. You're being saved because there's something that you need to change inside of you and not remain the same. It seems like common sense, but common sense isn't so common these days. And so if you need to be saved from something, then you have to ask yourself, what is it that I'm being saved from, and how do I make sure I never go back to that place? Well, the helmet of salvation does a few things. Number one is it renews your mind. Scripture tells us that we should renew our minds. Paul says in Romans 12:1 that there are battles determining the course of our lives and that our minds are a battlefield. Joyce Meyer had a wonderful book called Battlefield of the Mind. And there is a process, there's a battle going on inside of here that we must understand. There's a battle going on up inside here that you need to be understanding. You have to fight that battle though, because you have everything given to you to renew your mind so you don't have to worry about those things. Fight that battle with the salvation that was given to you. Fight that battle with the trust and the assurance of the salvation of Jesus Christ in your life. And so when your mind starts to go somewhere, guess what? Tell your mind not to go there. The God who lives inside of you is stronger than the non-intelligence that's up there. No, I didn't just call all you dumb, because I'm talking about myself too. We all need a little help up here. We must renew our mind. Renew that. Take and remove those old ideas, opinions, and worldviews, and replace them with God's perspective. How do we know God's perspective? It's all right here. You want to know what He says about issues and situations? Guess what? It's right here. Just open your mind. Renew it. Take away those old things and put in the new. Renew your mind. Number two, reject doubts. Listen, one of the biggest things to our salvation is that we doubt. We doubt that God is there. We doubt that we hear God. We doubt that he's actually helping us. We doubt that he hears our prayers. We doubt all of these things. And you know what? The helmet of salvation protects you from that. Why? Because salvation is 100% guaranteed. That is the only thing. Listen, I don't care what kind of guarantee you can get from any company out today. There's nothing 100%. Nothing. The only thing that's 100% guaranteed is your salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. And so if we understand that, if we grasp a hold of that, we should understand that we need to reject every doubt that rises in our mind when it comes to Jesus Christ. We are, as human beings, sensory creatures. What we cannot fathom with our five senses, we tend to disregard. What we can't see, what we can't feel, what we can't touch, what we can't smell, what we can't taste, we generally disregard. The problem with this is that if we allow them to continue, if we allow our doubts to be built in those things, circumstances may arise that will convince us that God does not really love us or that his word is not true. It is impossible to have faith and doubt at the same time. Do you understand that? It's totally impossible. You cannot have faith and doubt at the same time. They're two separate things. They don't mix, oil and water. They don't mix. You can't have faith and doubt. You either have faith or you doubt. So if you doubt that Jesus is real, then there's a real strong question that has to be asked about where your faith is. If you doubt that God can save you from the situation or the position or the places that you're at, then you have to take a hard look at your faith. Because your faith is probably not in the right place. Faith and doubt cannot remain in the same place. It's either one or the other, and we get to choose. See, with the helmet of salvation in place, we choose to believe what appears impossible. We choose to believe what we cannot see. We choose to have faith in Jesus Christ, even though we can't reach down and poke him in the stomach like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'll do it to me. Okay. We have to learn to reject doubts. Number three, keep an eternal perspective. The helmet of salvation has us focusing on what is to come, not as what is going on here. Our future is secured in heaven. It's not so secured here. In him it is. That doesn't mean that we're not going to face troubles. It doesn't mean that we're not. In fact, Jesus says that you will be persecuted because of your love for me. So you're not going to just get to skippity-doo-da, skippity-day, what a wonderful day, right? I'm sorry. I just gave you both an earworm and an eyeworm that you don't want, probably either one. So I didn't, you're right. The older I get, the less skipping I do. But if we keep an eternal perspective, if we keep our eyes focused up there, if we keep our eyes focused on Christ, then whatever we face here doesn't matter. I don't care what I go through here because here doesn't matter to me. There does. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can be faced with any kind of trouble. I can be faced with a kidney stone. I can be faced with sickness. I can be faced with pain. I can be faced with all of those things. And guess what? None of that matters because my eyes are not focused here. My eyes are focused up there. And whatever I go through here is only going to last for a short period of time. Up there is going to last forever, eternity, which we don't understand. Humans have a hard time of grasping what eternity really is. But like I just said, like 30 years, I'm still shook up about this. 30 years ago was 1995. But the truth of the matter is that none of that matters. This doesn't matter. This earth doesn't matter. It's him that matters. So our eyes have to be focused on him. Listen, the biggest problem that we have as Christians is that we fall to temptation and desires that are not going to last. They're not. We fall to these temptations, these shortcomings, these things that make us desirous of some situation here, whether financially or intimately or whatever they are today, we fall to those things. And what are they going to do? They're going to give you a brief 30 seconds of pleasure. And you're going to give up your eternity forever for 30 seconds of pleasure here on this earth? Is one of the, listen, when I talk to couples who have had adultery in their marriage, I say, what did you do? You gave up a lifetime of a relationship with a spouse that was blessed, that you had in your life, for what? 2 minutes at most? 30 seconds of joy? Of pleasure? I didn't mean it that way, Lydia. Stop going there. Bono, she started. The truth of the matter is, though, listen, I'm going to keep going, because I don't care what it is. I don't care whatever it is. Whatever temptation you're facing today is not worth it. Put on that helmet of salvation. Keep an eternal perspective and know that it's not worth losing the future for what you're getting right here now. Number four, remember that victory is already accomplished. When we consider ourselves dead to sin but alive to God, we eliminate the many opportunities that Satan will try to use to entrap us. When choosing sin is no longer an option for us because we recognize ourselves to be new creatures, we effectively cut out any avenues of failure with Jesus. When we remember that the victory has already been accomplished, listen, in the midst of your temptation, in the midst of your desire, in the midst of your sin, remember, I don't have to fall to this because I've already seen victory. I've already been there. God is already waiting for me in my future victory over this situation that's going on in my life right now. If I just put on that helmet of salvation, the assurance that comes with it, and say, I'm not going to fall to this. I'm going to stand in that salvation, and my victory in the future is secured. We got to stop walking around as defeated people. You are not defeated. I don't care what you face. I don't care the temptation. I don't care the desire. I don't care the addiction. I don't care any of those things that you're going through in life. You are not a defeated person, especially if you have Jesus Christ inside of you. You can overcome drugs. You can overcome alcohol. You can overcome pornography. You can overcome all of those things. If you just stand up to it and say, I'm not going to fall to that anymore because I'm a new person and a new creature in Christ. And my future is already secured. My victory here on this earth has already been overcome. And I'm going to win. I don't care what it is that I face. A few weeks ago in Africa, there was, I think at least 14 is the number that I've been hearing, maybe up to 21 individuals were beheaded for their faith in Christ. And one of the reports coming out of that was that one of the Christians stood up in front of the eyes of their beheaders, looked them in the eyes and said, you can cut off my head, but I've already won. What you face here today may be difficult, but you've already won.
That's right.
If you're in Jesus and Jesus is inside of you, it doesn't matter what you go through because your future is secured. Your home is built. And he's waiting for you in heaven to welcome you into that doors. And your eternity is secured in him. And so nothing that you face here matters at all. That's the mindset as Christians that we're supposed to have. And we have a problem getting people to go to their neighbors and talk about their faith because they're embarrassed. They might say something they shouldn't say. How secured is your faith if you're embarrassed to go share your faith with your neighbor? No one wants to talk about that, but the truth of the matter is that we have a whole bunch of Christians that are wimps, that are focused on here and now instead of focused on there. Stop focusing on the here and now. Who cares if your neighbors think you're a wimp? Who cares what your neighbors call you, holy rollers, or any of those things? Who cares if you get made fun of your faith? It doesn't make a difference because you're not living for those people. You're living for Him. Live for Him now, and your time there will be even sweeter, if that's even possible to say. Our victory is already accomplished. Number 5. We must find all of our hope in Him. Psalm 73:25 says, Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Our helmet is the most effective piece of equipment when we treasure what it represents. Your salvation will mean nothing to you if you don't treasure what it really means. All of those things I just talked about mean nothing if you're not finding hope in Him. But find hope in Him, and all of those things become beautiful pictures of what is to come in our life. The salvation Jesus purchased for us cannot share the place of importance in our hearts with The salvation Jesus purchased for us cannot share the place of importance in our hearts with earthly things. It's one or the other. Either love this world or you love Jesus. What's your choice? That's what He's asking us to do today. All right, the last one that we're going to talk about, and it's, I know, is the sword of the Spirit. I want you to understand something here. The helmet protects our salvation, but if you don't have the helmet of salvation, guess what? The sword of the Spirit is not in your sheath. When I say sheath, it's that little thing that you slide the sword into, right? It goes on your side. If you don't have the helmet of salvation, you don't have the sword of the Spirit. You can't. Because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Paul tells us that. The Word of God is what we carry with us. The Word of God is what we use as an offensive tool. In fact, Scripture tells us, Hebrews chapter 4 says, For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divisions of the soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This Word of God, this sword that Paul tells us, is to be used to not splice someone in half. It is a spiritual battle that we face. The only way that you're going to win spiritual battles is with spiritual things. If you think you're going to win a spiritual battle with the words that come out of your mouth that have nothing to do with this, have no idea or any relation to Scripture, you're wrong. You're not going to win. The only thing that you're going to win in a spiritual battle is if you have a spiritual tool, the Word of God. But in order to have the Word of God inside of you that you can yield it correctly, you must have the helmet of salvation on, and you must fully understand the helmet of salvation. You must fully understand salvation to understand the sword. It's the only offensive armor that Paul mentions. Do you know that Jesus used this? He used this tool. But guess who else used this tool or tried to use this tool? Satan. In tempting Jesus, Satan took Scripture and he twisted it just a little bit. But the funny thing is, Satan didn't understand that he was the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, and Satan thought he could trick Jesus into changing Scripture to say something. He was using it. Listen, one thing that I know for sure, Satan uses the same techniques that he's always been using. He's not creative. Since the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, guess what he did? What did he do to Adam and Eve? Twisted Scripture to get them to eat of the fruit of the tree that they were not supposed to eat. What did he do? He twisted that Scripture just enough that they would listen and hear. The problem of it is that we have a lot of Christians who have a helmet of salvation on, but they don't know anything about the sword and the Word of God. Because we have a bunch of illiterate Christians walking around with no knowledge of what it says inside the Scripture. And so therefore, Satan is twisting the words of Scripture just a little bit in your ear, and you begin to listen to it and hear it and believe it, and you're going down a path that you should never be on because you don't have your own sword of the Spirit. You're using someone else's sword. My sword is mine. I'm sorry, but I'm going to be selfish in that. A sword is mine. You got to get your own sword. Sorry. You want me to come battle with you with my sword? Absolutely. I'll do it in a heartbeat, but you're not getting my sword. Sorry, it's mine. You need your own. Pick up your own sword. Understand. Build it. Understand it. How do we do that? We allow it to build up inside of us, become who we are, understanding Scripture, rereading Scripture, opening up Scripture. And when we're under attack, pull out Scripture and start telling Satan this word. Problem of it is that we are too, as Christians, too oftentimes we find Christians who are using the Word of God to change other Christians instead of allowing that Word of God to change them. The work of the Word of the Lord starts inside of us. Do you understand that? God wants you to take that own sword, and He wants you to divide bone and marrow inside yourself first before you use it anywhere else. Why? Because we got to get rid of our old self. We have to die to ourself. Paul tells us that to die is gain. Paul tells us that if we move forward in our faith in Him, then we can have an everlasting, eternal life. But we must use the sword. So my question to you today, is the sword alive and well in you? It's not just knowing the Scripture, it is using it. It's understanding the Scripture, allowing it to work inside of you, allowing it to do the work that it was called to do. It's called to change us, to change our intentions, to change our hearts, to change who we are so that we can go out and battle with the spiritualness of the world around us. Do you know that there's a spiritual battle going all around us, but there's also those that are trying to attack you personally? But if you don't pick up the sword, and if you don't start laying down the law with the Word of God inside of you, then what are you doing? You're just opening yourself up. It starts by putting on all the... Listen, the armor of God was meant for us to fight spiritual battles. But if we don't put it on, if we don't utilize it, then what good is it? A Bible who sits on the shelf isn't beneficial to anyone. The word that never gets read isn't going to take you anywhere. But if we read this word, if we follow this word, if we put on the helmet of salvation, we think as we should, and we should move forward as Christ calls us to move forward, then we can fight the good battle that's before us, and we can win. You know, before Paul became a Christian, his name was Saul. Saul, according to history, never once lost in battle. He was a Roman soldier who had legions underneath of him. He was victorious everywhere he went. He was victorious in anything, including victorious in persecuting Christians, by the way. He was victorious in all of those things. And all of those things against God. So when he comes to the salvation of Jesus, when he comes and he's blinded by that light and he falls to his knees and God begins to work inside of his heart and he begins to do what he's called to do, he is working as a soldier who never lost a battle. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to take some battle instructions, I'm going to do it from someone that hasn't lost. I'm not going to go to the person that just lost and has lost every single time, right? Don't ask the Cleveland Browns how to get to the Super Bowl because it's not going to be...
Amen. Ask the Steelers.
No. Hey, wait. According to the NFL, the Browns have more championships than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just want to let you know because it is now true that we do have more than the Pittsburgh Steelers. So say what you would like, but that is the truth. So All right, let's move it off football. But the truth of the matter is, you're not going to ask someone who is always losing how to win a game, how to win a battle. Paul sets all of this up because what he's trying to do is he's trying to instruct us as Christians to be successful, to grow in our faith, to become stronger, to use the gifts and the talents and the armor that was given to us to become who we are. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Will you stand with me and will the worship team come forward? For the last 3.5 months, we've been reading through the book of Ephesians, talking about growing in our faith. It was interesting to me that Paul, even though he never lost, even though he was always growing. Paul makes it very clear to us over the course of time that he's an ambassador in chains for Christ and that he was growing in his faith. My fear today is that we have too many Christians who aren't willing to grow in their faith. They think they have somewhat arrived. Listen, the last thing that you can do is ever believe that you have arrived anywhere. The simple truth is that so I've been following Christ since I was 16 years old. I know some of you have underwear older than me, Pat. I know. He says that to me. Has said that to me, I should say. I know that. That's right. But the truth of the matter is listen, I have so much more to learn. And every time I open up this Word of God, every time I begin to read, I am enlightened and I love to learn. Well, it'd help if it wasn't upside down. maybe it works a little bit better if it's right side up instead of upside down. But we need to be dedicated to growing. Not only in wearing the armor of God, but dedicated and growing in our relationship with Christ. So what are you doing today? How are you using the helmet of salvation? How are you using the sword of the Spirit? How are you using the other tools, the belt of truth? How are you using the shoes of peace? How are you using the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith today? By the way, that's just been the last about 6 weeks. Before that, we talked about how to be husband and wife, how to love each other. Are you growing in your marriage? Or did you forget about that sermon that I did just 4, 5, 6 weeks ago? Truth of the matter is that too many Christians are lazy and they're okay with staying exactly where they've been. They don't desire to grow. They don't desire to go any further. They don't desire to do anything else. Why? Because it takes work. It takes energy. It takes effort. I want to encourage you today from the bottom of my heart, don't be one of those people. Dedicate yourself to growing. Dedicate yourself to going further. Dedicate yourself to reading the scripture. I promise you, whatever you read and whatever you apply will not return void. You can overcome anything in your life if you just use what's inside this book and apply it to your life. Make this the most important thing in your life. Make this more important than scrolling through videos on Facebook. Make this more important than playing some stupid game. Make this more important than TV, TikTok, Twitter, any other social media. This is more important than any of that. All of those, listen, everything else that we just named besides this is going away. This is the only thing besides our relationship with Christ that will last forever. And so why would you not want to pour into what's going to last forever instead of pouring into something that's going to last a very short amount of time. Someday, all electricity is gone, and sometimes I think that might be a good day, but if that ever happens, and all of those things are gone, what are you going to do? I'm not telling you that you have to own a physical Bible, but what happens if your phones no longer work, or your computer no longer works, or those things? What are you left with? We talked about a men's group a few weeks ago, The Book of Eli. Have you guys remember that movie? If you've never seen that movie, it's a wonderful movie. It's not one so much for kids to watch because it's a little bloody, a little gory. But at the end of the movie, what's his name? Denzel Washington. Thank you. He was carrying with him, inside of him, inside of his mind, the whole entire scripture. I'm not going to give away the other, in case you've never seen it before. Can we be just like him, though, and carry the word of God inside of us? Not only carrying the word of God inside of us, but allowing it to do the work that it needs to do inside of us so that others will see how much God has changed us and want to change too. Your family, your community, your neighbors need to see God at work inside of you. Because right now they're seeing the devil at work in a lot of people. They need to see God at work inside of you. Your son's here. It's okay. Megan, listen. I'm okay with that. Listen, if you don't like crying kids, sorry. That's what it is. It's church. But we have to put the word of God at work inside of us so that we can teach them how to live in the word of God, so that we can teach each other how to be in the word of God and grow. Will you make a commitment today? It starts with this, very simply put. I said before that if you've been here today or you're watching at home online and you've never put on that helmet of salvation, it starts really with that. I sometimes question Paul's motives because I think he should have started with the helmet of salvation and not ended with it, but that's besides the point. But the truth of the matter is that the helmet of salvation is very, very important. You must put on that helmet of salvation. You must understand how much salvation means. And so are you wearing that helmet of salvation? If you're not, then today is that day. Today is that day to put on that helmet of salvation. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe with our heart that he died on the cross for us, that we can have everlasting eternal life if we just give our sin over to him. If you've never done that before, then today is the day to do it. Today's the day to become part of the family. Worship was awesome. It was awesome just hearing all the voices. And you know what? That's just a sample of what heaven's going to be like. But you got to be part of the family. You got to be part of his family, his kingdom. So come and do that today if that's where you're at. And then make a commitment to grow every single day. Don't remain the same. Make a commitment to wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to do something in my life to grow closer to Christ. My wife and I have this exercise that every morning that we wake up around the same time. Sometimes she wakes up before me and I don't get to say this. But we have this exercise of looking at each other and going, I'm going to love you more today than I did yesterday. And sometimes that's real hard to do. Not because of her, because of me, all right? Don't go and tell her anything. But the truth of the matter is that we need not only that, we also make a commitment to Jesus every single morning. We, Lord, how can I serve you more today than I did yesterday? What can I do? Change me. Convict me. Help me to do on that path. So put me on that path that you want me to be on. Help me to have the eyes to see those that need to be reached. Help me to have the eyes to see where I need to be reached and do the work that only you can do inside of me. Will you do that today? Will you make that commitment to grow? Jesus wants you to, and so do I. So we invite you to make that commitment today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you in this place. We thank you for the book of Ephesians and the writer Paul, who is an ambassador in chains, as he calls himself, that brought the word of God and that he spoke boldly to us. Lord Jesus, may we boldly speak again. May we come to that salvation, first of all, putting on that helmet of salvation that says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we can have everlasting eternal life. If we believe and we ask for forgiveness of our hearts, of the sin that we have been living in, and accept what he did on the cross for us, then we can have that life. Lord Jesus, help us in this place to walk in you. That assurance of salvation that comes by being saved by you. Father, be with us as those that are here today that have already asked that, but need to make that commitment to walk with you further, deeper, stronger, more. Let us grow constantly in you, Father. Learning to love you and to walk in you with everything that we do and we say. We glorify you, Father. We honor you and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Right before we sing this worship song, if you'd like to come forward, if you'd like to be part of that family, listen, it's not just a family here, it's a family in heaven too. And God is beckoning for you to be part of that. So if you've never done that, come forward. Let us pray with you, pray for you. We invite you to come and be part of that with us. Or if you have other prayer requests, we'd love to pray with you too. Let's sing this worship song together. I am a child of God. If you can boldly proclaim that, if you can walk in that, then go live it out. Jesus didn't save you and give you salvation for you to sit on your hands and not do a single thing with it. He gave you salvation to save you so that you can go out and grow his kingdom of God with others. Become a child of God. And if you are, then be a child of God and do as your father did. Loving, caring, sharing with others. Go and be those people today, because that's who God called us to be. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you. And Lord, we look forward to the next 2 weeks, Passover and Easter, Resurrection Sunday, Father, the day that we celebrate what you did, how you overcame the cross, overcame the death, overcame all of those things. Lord Jesus, help us in the next, not only in the next 2 weeks, but for the rest of our lives, whatever time that we have left, to be the children of God that you call us to be. Let us walk boldly in our faith with the assurance of the salvation on our head and the word of God in our hand to do the work, to fight the battles that you've called us to fight. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. Send us forth into our neighborhoods, our homes, and our families to see you exalted and your kingdom grown. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you will do, and all that you are doing, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you again next week.